Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in New Basement Studios by the net, by the lake.
By the net.
Yes, because this week we are going to discuss 25 years of the internet.
Well, actually, 25 years of the World Wide Web.
Please correct me.
Yes.
Right. Which you've just done.
So it started, so it's the 25th birthday of the World Wide Web.
Can I say something as to that? I saw something in last week's local newspaper, local to this area's newspaper, the Washington Post.
They would fashion themselves a national newspaper.
And they were talking about how it's 25 years of the web.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually surprised. Now, I listen to National Public Radio in the car. I listen to the BBC at work. You know, I read internet web, the newspapers via the internet every day. I felt like what to me should be quite a momentous moment seemed to pass by with relatively little fanfare.
Yeah.
The web's silver jubilee, I would never have known it unless I'd read, if I didn't buy that paper on a Sunday, I don't think it would have entered my consciousness that this is 25 years since the web has surrounded us.
Yeah, it's somewhat arbitrary in that they picked a date, which I'll explain in a second, but they could have picked in a somewhat earlier date, a somewhat later date, but roughly 25 years ago, we have the World Wide Web. So first thing to do to clarify difference between the World Wide Web
and that?
The internet. The internet is the systems for exchange of data between these computers on a non-centralized basis that we use that underlies
the tubes,
email.
That connect everything.
That's right. Yeah. Underlies email, underlies the World Wide Web, underlies all the apps on your phone, all these sort of things that don't really that are anything where you're moving that data around. So it's really the system.
Okay.
The World Wide Web is the collection of web pages, which in their simplest version are text documents written in this, they call HTML, hypertext markup language.
Okay.
But say written hypertext, and hypertext being the stuff that enables you to have clicks to go to different locations and things like that. And also, like, it does other things with the data. But it's the collection of web pages with that text, and then, you know, also with the add-ons of pictures and videos and everything else that's inserted within it. So it's that. The World Wide Web depends upon the internet for distributing and viewing and that, but it isn't the internet itself.
Okay.
It's this collection of pages. So when you use email, like, you know, you may use a browser nowadays, but like if you use an email program that's not like your web browser, it's not like Internet Explorer, you're using the internet, but you're not using the World Wide Web.
Is this fair to say that the internet is basically sort of almost the phones
one way to think about it is the internet is the phone system.
Right.
The World Wide Web is the conversations that occur over the phone. Like, it's not a great analogy because it's not fixed. Like, if basically everywhere you called with what a phone had a recording that you listened to, it would be all those recordings. And so that was that part of it. The World Wide Web part. Like, so the internet dates back to the 60s and 70s, and it was all these incremental things started with, like, the ARPANET, which was that defense agency thing, started with the colleges being connected together and people doing this stuff just for exchange of data. Generally, they didn't have a browser, click through, things like that. There were some other things, email, Usenet. I'm going to talk about that.
And Skynet, from which Terminator came from.
That's right. Yeah, that too.
So
but the World Wide Web
for
itself.
For those of you who again, lost all this technical conversation. There you go.
Yeah, the World Wide Web itself was effectively invented really by one person. I mean, he spearheaded, obviously, Tim Berners-Lee.
So the World Wide Web is what's just reached its quarter century.
That's right. Right. Okay. So he was working on this in 1989 into 90. He develops a browser to view it. In August 6th of 1991, he announces on one of what they call Usenet groups, which were sort of like early versions of bulletin boards, which I'll mention, we'll talk about more in a second. But he announces on that public release of this thing, here's all the stuff, I've put together this thing, feel free to whack together your own website and you'll be able to access it. I'll give you all the code to then all this, and made it publicly available. So that's sort of the birth point. It's not like he had a whole bunch of websites preset to run out there, but he's basically announcing to everybody. So that's what they're using. That's why these things came out to the extent they did. But I think, you know, the Washington Post, to some people might have like sort of said, well, it's been roughly 25 years. What should we call 25 years? And maybe it was, they needed more time, so they picked the public announcement versus like his in private development of it beforehand or what it was. He developed this when he was at CERN, C-E-R-N, which is, it's one of these acronyms that I think depends upon something French, but it's really a European nuclear research organization.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, he wasn't like a computing place. It was something where he was using it for these purposes, and his earliest version was just text.
Because in the spec, I'm sorry.
I don't want to like run through the whole thing. I'm going to talk a little bit about how we go next from text to what we have. Yes, but Tim Berners-Lee, you have a printout here. Englishman,
did I Englishman, say this that's correct. And did you know?
I did.
Did you know that as a child he was a keen train spotter and he learned about electronics from tinkering with his model railway.
There you go.
And as anyone long-time listeners will know, I'm a big fan of always wanting a model railway. So right there, so Tim Berners-Lee
and I. If you had only gone a different direction.
Yes, I'd be a genius and a millionaire and a sir rather than sitting in a basement.
Of course, in 1989, even you were young, a little young for having done that. So.
You know, it's funny. And I wanted to put this into a little bit of perspective. And you just talked about being young. So, funnily enough, earlier today, on the day of recording, I was having coffee with a young member of my household. And she's like, what are you doing today? And I'm like, well, I'm doing my show. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, what are you going to talk about? And I said, well, we're going to talk about the, of course, because I didn't know the difference between the internet and the World Wide Web.
Well, I think we're going to talk about both. Okay. I mean, it's World Wide Web, but we're going to talk about things.
I said, we're going to talk about the internet, which is 25 years old. Mm-hmm. And she kind of had this funny look at me. And I suddenly realized that this is now old enough. We are one of the last generations that have appreciative everyday life before something that has become, I mean, I have to say it.
Like, was her impression like, well, wasn't it always there? Like, or was it?
I don't know what her impression was. I think her impression was, can I go and get another piece of cake? Actually, okay, that was her impression. But
that's the thing is, if you came up with it always there, you would think, well, yeah, I mean, granted, when we came along, you know, we knew there was a difference in phones. I mean, I heard my parents talking about party lines and, you know, getting a phone and different things like that. But it was like a standard piece of your life. And so, like, the idea that, well, wait a minute, what would have been like, just like we would have thought back before then, they would have must have been like, oh, my goodness. I mean, how would I possibly?
Yes.
Check on whatever they check on the internet.
Whatever they on the internet.
And watch My Little Pony videos or something like that.
In terms of this show, my partner and I originally decided to sort of have a bit of fun and run a little competition to find out which one of us is more internet-y.
This will be less formalized than our typical. We're just going to find points to allocate out.
But of course, I now need to say that, in fact, the contest should not be which one of us is more internet-y, which one of us is more WWW-y.
No, we're going to do it all internet-y. And I think I scored the first point for knowing that it's different than the web.
Yeah, I'm going to give you that. But the fact that Sir Tim Berners-Lee learned about all of this from a model railway, which I'm a great big fan, I'm going to give myself a point.
Okay,
for that too.
Fair enough. It's all tied up.
I actually, and again, I'm going to beat a dead horse now. As everyone knows, I'm a big fan of Wikipedia. And I went and I downloaded Sir Tim Berners-Lee's bio from Wikipedia. I was actually going to download the internet entry, but that ran like 25 pages. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to read through that to find out anything about it. Knowing that my partner will actually be on the web himself getting all the information we need. I think it is fair to say, what's that old phraseology in life about, you know, success has many parents or something like that.
Yeah.
But it does appear, fair or foul, that Sir Tim Berners-Lee, he does seem to get the lion's share of credit for inventing all of this in the way that Alexander Graham Bell gets all the credit for inventing the telephone, or what's his name, got hit by lightning, who invented electricity. Which one was that? Ben Franklin? Yeah. One of those guys. But you know what I'm saying? I find it interesting, and I do believe, you know, he was working at CERN over there in France, and yet it is strange that, not strange, everyone attributes him with being,
well, he's really like he provides a nice pivot point.
Yes,
it's not like when you look at his invention, it is not as revolutionary. Well, I should say it's as revolutionary, but you're not as amazed by it, like as somebody figuring out the light bulb. Like the light bulb, like you just started from, you like, how do I make electricity into light in a way that I can sell it to people and put it out there? Whereas his was, the big thing they say is he tied together two things that already exist. The hypertext stuff already existed. That was used by folks in dealing with documentation. And then the internet already existed. And he was the one who put it together who said, well, okay, I got a version here. We could access these documents and they would have these links and they would go places. And like these links, one of the big things about the links is they're omnidirectional, meaning you don't need the permission of the person. Like when you go to a link and you put a link on your website and it goes somewhere else, you don't need the permission or any like computing effort on the target that you're linking to. You can just put in this web address. It's all based on things that existed already. A DNS is a domain name server, domain name. I forget what the S stands for now anyway, but that's like the things that are the .coms and all the names that existed already for other purposes. URLs, which are like the addresses and the number codes, those existed already.
You mean URLs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they're not called. I never heard them called URLs.
That might be true.
I've never heard them called URLs.
It should be called URLs.
Yeah. It should be.
It's phonetically sayable.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Anyway, so he's the one who ties all this stuff together and says, let's do this.
And he's also the one who says that you actually don't need the double backslash.
Is that right?
He says, Berners-Lee admitted that the initial pair of slashes in a web address were unnecessary.
But does that mean do you have to, like, so I never.
I don't know, but I do remember being back in, and we are going to cycle around to this, back in the dawn of the World Wide Web, you had to be pretty accurate with what you typed
That's
in.
Right.
And so.
Here's a little known fact that I'm amazed that people don't know this, but almost all the browsers, if you type the place you want to go, and then you just hit Control Enter, it will put the www and the com in for you. So, like, if you want to go to ESPN, you just type ESPN and hit Control Enter, and that will fill out the rest of the address.
What happens if it's a .net? Like,
well,
the Atlantic Voice?
Yeah, then you'd have a problem.
Right, so basically, I think, to be completely fair, we're going to give Tim Berners-Lee a point. So he gets a point.
He's not here. He doesn't.
I don't know. We're going to give him a point, although I'm telling you, because he's not here,
he was knighted. Was he knighted for this work or something else?
Yeah, I think he was. He was knighted back in 2004. He was a knight of the British Empire. He's also got something else.
Is that the right way of saying it? Knighted?
He's a knight of the British Empire.
Do you say knighted?
You say I have been knighted. Well, okay. Not me personally, although hopefully one day if more people listen. If the number of avians ever increases, and I did run into someone who referred to themselves as an avian.
Yeah, I listened back to that because we were talking about a different name. I think avian works the best because it's like bird.
Yeah. I could be knighted by the Queen, and I would be Sir Zeph of the Atlantic
Voice. I just wasn't sure about the verb.
Because you are not a British subject, you could win some other things. You could be a member of the British Empire or Order of the British Empire. Yeah. But only subjects of the Queen, of which I am one, would be knighted.
Yep.
But anyway, he was knighted.
Also
so
means she can have you killed like that. Well, right? Isn't that the deal? If you're a queen,
you I think so. Like, yeah, but also, think, frankly, if I was
Can't
royal,
do it to me.
I think
there'd be an act of war.
I don't know, look that up on the web. I mean, even Time Magazine give him credit as the time. This is the quote on Wikipedia from Time Magazine. He wove the World Wide Web and created a mass medium for the 21st century. The World Wide Web is Berners-Lee's alone. He designed it, he loosed it on the world, and he, more than anyone else, has fought to keep it open, non-proprietary, and free. I'm going to take away...
Yeah, that's one of the big things is that it was free, because like there was another thing competing at time called Gopher, and Gopher was a system with a more, instead of hypertext, it was like a version that was more like indexing all these documents, and Gopher was rolling out around the same time, and then they ultimately started like licensing it or making people pay. That doesn't help you. As we know from everything on the internet, start with free.
Yeah, but then, is it free?
Well, sure.
But I don't think it's free. I've got to pay my internet connection every month.
No, but you're just paying for the phone. You're paying for the internet. You're not paying for the web.
I'm still paying, and frankly, I'm going to challenge the 1 point that Sir Tim Berners-Lee has been awarded for inventing the World Wide Web.
Well, that simplifies things, because I wasn't sure about a 3-person scoreboard.
Yeah, no, that's all right. He's holding on one, because he's not here. This has been his thing. I think it's fair to say that, all jokes aside, his career since has very much been around.
I have no idea what he's done since.
Well, no, he has become a, what's the right word? Not a correspondent, but a
consultant?
Sort of, no, he is, his belief that the internet is free and open to all has become basically his life's mission. So what I'm saying is I don't think he's as much in there now working in technology. He's out there.
So much policy and an
advocate is exactly what I'm looking for. He's been an advocate of the fact that the internet and the World Wide Web should be free and open to all. He's traveled a lot to developing nations and stuff like that.
We could have organized this podcast a number of ways, but we'll come back to that because that'll be about the future. Yeah. So the next thing I would want to mention, one other development in the internet, and then let's talk a little bit about the World Wide Web, and then let's talk a little bit about each of our experiences.
That's right.
I think because we came of age, this came up after
This morning is clueless.
Interesting.
We've come of age.
The other big thing is when he first does this, it's just text documents because that's HTML is really a text protocol.
That's true.
So it's not designed for hosting pictures. It's not adverse to it, but it's not part of the design. But then in 1993, you get the Mosaic browser, so he had developed a browser that just could show you the documents. And the Mosaic browser is the first one comes out. It was it came out of a university thing. This is one of those ones where the government sometimes takes some credit because it was out of, I think, University of Illinois, this project. Somewhere I have it written down. The National Center for Supercomputer Applications.
Okay.
So Mosaic browser comes out and it says, look, you can put a text and we will create a system where you can input pictures in the middle of it. When you're reading the thing, it can have a little picture off to the right-hand side or the middle or what it is. I mean, that's the first wave of, turning it into a multimedia experience. Nowadays, obviously, we have videos and flash things and all this stuff that makes that web page come alive. But underlying it all, it's still a text thing with lots of stuff stuck in there.
Frankly, this is my opinion. And you just touched on it right there. That actually is the moment when this thing becomes...
Right, it becomes a user-friendly
To the mass audience. Because you know something? I do believe that if there wasn't that ability, and it's going to do... I mean, yeah, all these things have to do with speed and all that sort of stuff. But if it continued to be just a way for... Like I said, I don't think the internet would be the same place if it was nothing more than a whole load of emails. And written documents.
Right, yeah. That's because, they were coming at it from a research perspective. They necessarily need that. But one of the articles from the Post talked about when this happened, and his reaction was he was not too thrilled about it, not because he didn't want that to happen, but he knew as soon as that happened, the main use was going to become naked pictures.
And I will say this, at the dawn of the internet, it took forever for those things to download. It was a time-consuming hobby back then, let me tell you.
Which is a good segue into our earliest experiences with internet and things like that. So let's rewind. We're going to go back before the web. When's the first time that you use email or have an email address? I assume that comes before you have some other way of getting on the internet.
I'm going to rewind even further than that. I can actually remember the first time.
If it's not networked, it doesn't count.
No, I can remember the first time someone was explaining this thing to me. Because obviously prior to the internet...
Just last year.
No, I never had a computer. I only got a computer because all of a sudden there was this thing called the web. Before that, I remember I had a word processor. And that was my... I had a typewriter and a word processor. Word processor was like a electric typewriter. Except it came up on a screen, a very small screen first, not much bigger than the calculator screen.
Okay.
And then it would kind of save your document on this disk.
So that's where you could edit it before it came out.
Yes. I remember
that was a waste of time.
I worked in a job. I was in a sales job.
What year are we talking about here?
92, 93, 94. And I remember having a conversation with a guy who worked there who rode motorbikes. And he was sitting at his desk one day on the computer, which we just used for controlling stock in the back and stuff like that.
Right.
And he's typing away, and he was constantly typing, and he was in a chat room for guys that ride motorbikes. And I remember he was trying to explain to me how, we're all connected, and I can type something, and we can all see it, and then people answer back. And I just kind of looked at him. I thought, I'm not interested in motorbikes. And that was sort of the end of it for
exactly.
me.
Wow, this motorbike thing is sort of... Of course, we didn't have anything to do with motorbikes
And then I remember buying a laptop because of the fact that there was this... someone would try and explain it to me. And then I remember having my first dial-up modem.
Well, if you bought a laptop... dial-up modem laptop. So we're talking about like...
It's got to be 93, 94.
That would have been incredibly expensive. I mean, they barely had laptops. No, I don't... You could not have gotten a laptop in 93.
No, I did. Sometime in the mid-90s.
Mid-90s, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But that was the first time buying a... It was an old Hitachi laptop.
Well, it's all the more reason it had to be later.
But it's mid-90s. It's not much later than that. Because I remember where I was living at the time. It's 94, 95.
Put it this way. In 92, I think, I was typing on one of those ones that was like, it looked like a sewing machine where the front part, like it had a CRT screen, you know, the green screen in a big thing.
No, I know what you're talking
about. And had a keyboard, was like the cover for this big thing. And it was like you took it off the cover and that was the keyboard. And
it would have been about 1994. And the only reason I bought it was because primarily I was going to go on this thing called the internet / World Wide Web. And right there, I'm going to give myself another point.
No,
because I had a laptop and you had something like a
sewing
machine.
But I think you're wrong here.
All right.
Anyway, so when's the first time? You just explained the first time you saw it, but when's the first time you get... So is the first time you get on it with that computer that
you
buy?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
And I'll tell you who's going to verify that, and hopefully he will do. His friend of the show, Cameron, our old Spike guest friend, he was the one, because he's always been up to speed with computers, he was the one who said, you should buy this one and buy this. And I remember the modem was an attachment a bit like, slightly thicker than a credit card, that plugged into the side of this laptop.
You must have your ears totally, because like a modem in that time would have been huge. Like it would have been a separate item.
All right, look it up, man. I remember having a computer because I remember spending hours downloading pictures. That's what I do. I'm accurate about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to look. It's going to be very hard to find.
Of course it is.
Like a timeline thing.
No, I'm telling you.
So my side, all right? So I'm in law school at the time.
Okay.
So this is why it's very convenient for me to, I remember the exact years because of the way, you know, when I was in school and stuff, it would be much blurrier otherwise. First of all, I got a hold of a used DOS computer in, say, 92, maybe 3. So that one, you know, you didn't have a browser or anything like that. It was a DOS computer. It was mostly used for word processing, as you explained, but now it's actually a computer. And the schools, of course, offered up email addresses. Mine was EJE3U. You know, like, you know, they gave you stuff that was your initials, but of course, since everybody had the same damn initials, you had to add some extra letters to it. At Virginia, like, you know, a bunch of dots and extra pieces there. So that's in, like, I definitely had that computer in 93, by 93, yes. And green screen, and you could email, and it was like a whole production. First of all, you have to actually have a dial-in. And since it was a big computer, it had a regular modem that was built into it, and you have to dial in, and of course, everybody knows.
And you could hear the phone, that's right.
As like it like fax. Connects to this sort of stuff. You know, before that, like, I did know some people who were younger when they had, before you had even like the internet, you had like CompuServe or things like that where you could go and get stuff that you'd have a modem for like playing games. It was like from War Games, the movie, where you put the phone itself into this thing. Like, so you didn't have, it was, your modem was this thing with a couple of cups that would hold your phone because all the phones were the same shape. And you just jammed your phone into that, and so it would like hear through that. Anyway, so I got the stuff of doing it. I don't really remember doing any emailing because who the heck was I going to email? It's like, it's not like I knew a bunch of people to email to. And it's not even like you would have emailed your friends at school because you saw them on a regular basis. Yes. You know, you didn't have a cell phone, but you made arrangements. There'd be no reason to email you because you'd have to get on your computer and go to get the email. So it's not like it's convenient or anything like that. It's like regular mail. It would arrive. You'd have to go to the mailbox, get it, figure out what it is, download it. And it would scroll across the screen. You know, the cursor would be rolling across there. Next thing is they started Usenet groups, and I bet you, I wouldn't surprise me if that's what your guy was really doing.
I mean, those weren't live chats,
but it was basically like a bulletin board. So you would go to the Usenet
group. That's exactly what it was.
You would type up your thing, and then somebody else would come back with a reply and all that stuff.
It is what the chat room. It morphed into the chat room. Yes.
Yeah. And so they, you know, I remember at the time when they were starting to roll out. This is like 92, 93. They're starting to roll out things that are like alt groups, like, oh, you know, because they start off with basic like computer stuff, and now it's like there's a Grateful Dead message yes. board where you can post up like, oh, I want to trade the tape, or I saw this show and here's the set list and that kind of thing. Something about like driving, a bunch of car ones, sports ones, and all that.
If you go to Craigslist, it looks like Craigslist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if that, I mean, like,
very basic.
Yeah, very basic stuff. So that could be pretty consuming before you had people be amazed, you know, that they're. People use the web and all the things that are there to think, wow, you could just spend all this time reading messages from other people. But a ton of people, like, it's obviously wasn't a ton of people in the aggregate, but there was full. These message boards were full of people talking about stuff, because if you were really into it, you would post this stuff. And around that time, I had a roommate who was working in the university's president's office, and he was telling me about on their computers, they had this thing, Mosaic, which was that browser that showed pictures. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? Like, at that point, all computers were was the standard ASCII characters. And he's talking about it showing pictures and having different things that you could click on and do this. And I'm like, I don't even have any idea what you're talking about. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. That's pretty much – because I never got that on my computers. And then I moved up here, group house. First part of the group house, no computer in the house. I mean, I had that junky old computer, but I didn't really use it for anything. And then one of our new roommates come in. He has a full-blown Windows computer with the Netscape Navigator browser. And so, like, we're all using that same computer. Greg, if you're listening, thank you very much. But, you know, just this one computer, and you'd have to go and check there. We had an email address that we all shared. You know, we had this one.
Oh, email. A house email address.
Yeah, because, yeah, man, what would you need? Like a phone, yeah. You only have one mailbox on your house. I mean, what would you possibly need multiple things for?
That's true, actually.
And it was like, you know, it's an acronym based on our fraternity or thing. And we'll talk about the company that provided it. And like you said, you go to get the pictures, basically sports. I don't know what else was on there. You'd look up at sports-related things, and then there were, you know, naked pictures.
That was pretty much it for me. I still remember I was thrilled because I could get football scores from the UK.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that would be great for that. Right, all that news, stuff would come immediately.
The soccer news.
You don't have to wait for your 442 to come out and figure it out.
I'll be honest with you, I'm going to give this website a shout-out because it still exists now. It's now an ESPN property. SoccerNet. Someone once told me, if you want to get all the stuff, go to SoccerNet.
I guess it's now ESPN FC. Like, I think
it's now ESPN FC and everything. But if you still type in SoccerNet, that's where it goes.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about Mosaic. Is that the same as Internet Explorer?
So it's interesting, evolutionarily wise. No, it's a different product. Like, so
but is it? No. Let me backtrack. Is it?
It would operate the same way, same concept.
So it is.
The things we see today, like that backwards button, the forwards button, the menu bar, the title
that's
bar,
Mosaic.
All that stuff has been the same in browsers since they started them.
Okay,
you know, so Mosaic. So you get Mosaic, then Netscape Navigator comes out. Netscape's a private company, and they come out with. And that's what we definitely had. I remember we had Navigator in our group house.
Okay.
But Netscape specifically avoided any of the computer code that Mosaic ran on because they didn't want to get in a fight about it. Netscape's code is ultimately – Netscape is gone now. Navigator is gone now. But the code in that is what ultimately becomes Firefox, because it goes into the nonprofit Mozilla Foundation, et cetera. That's it. The Mosaic code is what becomes Internet Explorer. Like, Internet Explorer licenses Mosaic's code to build its first browser. And I mean, people may not remember this, but like, so Netscape comes out in 1995. Explorer comes out around 1995, but really Netscape ran things. But this was the whole thing. Remember the Windows lawsuits was the fact that Windows would, when they sold you a computer and had Windows, it would have Explorer built in.
Yes.
And then they get sued because basically people saying, oh, you're forcing or you're pushing down this other product and you're restricting trade by not letting people use this other product because you're pushing Explorer onto people. We avoided it. I avoided it to the point where I really kind of skipped over using Explorer, and then when Firefox comes out, I switch over to Firefox. So I almost never used Explorer.
What's history, Chrome?
Chrome is now the Google. Google creates a new product. I don't know what it's based on, but that's much more recent.
Because I'm going to tell you this much. In all my history on the computer, I've used Internet Explorer, and then I switched to Chrome because they switched to Chrome. I have never... Yeah, I may have occasionally on a communal computer used something else. But if I go to my local Kinko's in desperate search of a computer, I used to click on the E, now I click on the Chrome.
Right.
And to be frank with you, that's all I've ever used.
So the thing that's creepy about
all I've ever used.
The thing that's most creepy, and because all of these things, and I actually have like some computers I have one and some I have the other, and I actually feel a little bit more comfortable with that, is because each one of those companies is aggregating the data associated with your browsing.
Sure.
Oh, it's a phone ringing. I was like,
it's not your dial-up.
So, if I use Chrome one place and Explore another place and Firefox another place, I feel like it's not one company using getting all the same stuff.
So you feel like you try and put yourself about your web presence.
Right. I'm sure they'll ultimately merge. And the one nice thing about like Chrome, and I suppose the other ones work, if you're signed in, like when you type something into Chrome, now if you go on your phone. And you have an iPhone, so you don't have a Chrome browser. But if you have a Chrome browser on that, it remembers your searches and pulls up the stuff automatically. But that's the upside to them building an information dossier about you. The downside is they have an information dossier about you. So one of the funny things about the just thinking of web providers and the like, when we got that first website, or first email address, it was from a company called Errols, E-R-O-L-S.
Local company.
It was based in Springfield, Virginia.
Video rentals.
It had originally been video rentals. Yeah. They sell their business, their video rental business, to Blockbuster, I'm sure, in the grand scheme of things. I mean, they were way ahead of the curve.
They were way ahead of the curve.
But they're like, this thing's, we give it to Blockbuster. They take that money and they put it into, we're going to create an internet provider. And it was really like, at that time in Northern Virginia at least, it was, you get an AOL thing, or you go with Errols. You know, AOL was like a whole different thing. It did provide you an email address, but it was this walled garden of a system. Yes. Like you were closed. Like if you wanted to access AOL content, like Errols never did. Errols was just a place, and it was cheaper because all told, if you paid for enough time, you could get it for less than $20 a month. You know, like a couple, I think AOL originally was you pay per hour because it would have to connect into your phone. And you would pay per hour for it. And then when they went to unlimited, like the place crashed basically because everybody was just turning their computer on all the time. Like it's stuff that we're totally used to now that your computer is always on, always connected to the internet. That was not the case then. You had to like, oh, I got to do this. And by the way,
I used to pay an independent call waiting guy.
Right? This is the big call waiting thing. Yeah. Like because when you were on, nobody could call your house, right? I remember the phone company started offering where it would roll into voicemail. Instead of just going call waiting and just nobody get an answer, it would roll into like a voicemail system or like forward or something like that. And that was the big solution to the fact that you'd be on your computer all the time tying up your phone line.
Downloading pictures would be taken forever. People couldn't get on the phone. Yeah.
Starting to get grayer and more hunched over the more there's stories I tell. You got yours from some guy running out of his basement.
Yeah, some guy was running something, and he was a computer guy, and I'd been set up with him, and my first ever email address was with him. He now lives in Florida. I think he's retired. He lives on a golf course in Florida. Must have been like all these guys who got in on this at the front end. He's made a fortune and moved on to something else. And I remember I used to, my computer would dial up. So I was an AOL Errols, and then my buddy had set it up so that. Yep.
And so what was your first email address? Do you know?
It was Zeph, my last initial, after that, at a place called biztech.net. So, Scott, if you're out there and you ever listen, you're biztech now. You've made a fortune off people like me. And yeah.
Let's see.
And that was my first email address. And the name has bounced around. I search it now and again, BizTech Communications. It was B-I-Z. T-E-C-H. And that was my first email address was at biztech.net.
.net. They were really ahead of the curve on not being able to get their name.
Yes. So that was my first email address. And it was that moment you had that, and the moment other people had it.
Biztech.net, in business since 1995.
There you go. You see?
Welcome to Web 2.0, which I think Web 2.0, I can't remember what that's the difference about Web 2.0, but I think that's about like 8 years ago. So this website may be a little stale.
All I know is he lives in Florida. He used to live up here in this area. He is long gone to Florida.
Uh-huh.
I think he lives near Sawgrass, not far from the PGA golf course there.
Their little copyright thing at the bottom of the page goes 1995 to 2010. So I don't think he's looked at his webpage since 2010.
And yet, the web seems to be strewn with vacant buildings like this.
Yeah.
So that was my first email address.
So you get the email address. I mean, like I said, didn't barely use it. Now I'm trying to think if I
have. Did I get
a point in any of this? I think I might have got.
Yeah, I think you did
a point for like at least knowing the difference between the Usenet groups and chat rooms.
For sure. I'll give you.
So it'll give me a point there.
I'll give you that. But so you're winning. I think you're winning like 3-1.
No, it's 2-1. And then there's a point coming to you, which I'm trying to build up a credential here because
please do, because you're going to need it. Yeah.
Because for someone who doesn't know anything about computers and electronics, I'm going to prove that.
Well, this is I thought about this beforehand, right? So Zeph was presenting things on the internet like I've never like put stuff. Actually, you know, before we get to that, sorry, I just interrupted.
No.
But you know, I was talking to the other member of the household, talking about websites, and she was saying, like, why would anybody put anything out? Like, how did there end up being stuff out there? And I said, well, you know, people, this is when you think about it, right? Like, think about today. We always talk about people want to get famous by being on, putting their YouTube video yes. up and their music or whatever it is, and they can get out there. At some level, this was the geekier version of the same thing. Because if you knew something that you felt like you knew more than other people, you would put up a website. And what was the reason for putting the website? You wanted other people to see it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not personal in terms of like the way the Yahoo, the YouTube stuff is now, but it was really about, look at me, look at this stuff I know.
Yeah.
Here it is. Come see it. The whole world can look at it. You could tell your friend, I had this thing there. Look at that. And along those lines, you guys, you and
myself and Spike guest Cameron.
Okay.
We
had a website.
We had a website called bigfellamovies.com.
Yeah, I don't think
and it died. It died years ago, but it existed. And what I used to do was I used to write quick five-line movie reviews in the persona of the big fella Buddha.
Yeah, had a cute little illustration. Who did that illustration?
I don't know, a buddy of Cameron's. And Cameron, I'm giving you a big shout out. This was your idea.
The domain name is still available if you want to buy it back.
Oh, that's up to him. I don't get involved in anything. and so we used to do quick movie reviews, and it was a movie website. But the gimmick behind the website was, if you wanted to watch a movie and select your takeout food,
that's right,
you could email us and go, I'm in the mood for a cop movie. And the whole point of it was, we would get back to you with a selection of movies. And you know something? You should eat Kung Pao chicken with this.
Yeah, I remember you had like some double bills, like, oh, you could watch these two movies, and here's your first course and your second course kind of thing.
And now, and this was all around, it was towards the end of the millennium, and it was right, it was, cell phones were about then, but it was before smartphones.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always said this, it was an idea that I didn't have it, but it wasn't my idea. I was just a technician on the idea. It was an idea ahead of its time. Because if you did that now with instant communication, I'd have a funny feeling there might be something to it now. Of course, now with everyone getting a website, you don't have to pay for anything. You can find out whatever you want on your own.
That's right.
So it was sort of.
But you would have been like, you would have ended up pushing.
But we had an internet presence, and I was kind of jazzed because it was the first time. What you just spoke about, how the web existed and people wanted to put their stuff out there. All of a sudden, words that I'd written were now up there. People could find it. And I just thought, that's pretty cool. And bigfellamovies.com. And it was a legit place. And we had a little, I think I still have our business cards somewhere.
I went to the Wayback Machine. You know what the Wayback Machine is?
Yeah,
archive. So I believe you must have done this. This was like mid-1998.
Because it looks like that.
There's a little chart shows it first there. So how can I get to a version of this? Of course, this won't be very interesting for people on a podcast because I'm...
No, but there you go.
Saved 51 times between January 1999 and March 5th, 2016.
Yep. That was us, Big Fella Movies. So I get a point.
Boom.
There it is.
There's the first version.
Oh my gosh, you found it. Movie topic of
the
week.
It's the archive, so it doesn't necessarily have the pictures, but it has your little Buddha.
That's right. You'll have to send me that, and we'll see if we can screenshot it and put it up on the net for people. Yeah. But yeah, the Big Fella Buddha.
So you get a point for that.
Thank you very much.
But I was thinking about that before, because between that and this podcast and, you know, you doing other... you are much more willing to just throw it on out there, which is really, like... It's not your tech angle. You're really more of a media personality.
Not a tech guy.
I mean, you run the tech on this, which is
takes
like
us out.
Beforehand. Yeah, before this, people know I was commenting to Zeph. I said, you know, it sounded a little funny last time. There was like he's like, I don't know. We've set these things on the mixing board. They've been this way for a year and a half, so maybe it sounded problematic the whole time long. Whereas I'm a tech geek, right? I enjoy this stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm despite the fact that I appear on a world-renowned podcast.
That's right. Yes,
I probably a little more hesitant to put things out there. Now, things that I did do before you, like Twitter, like I have the Twitter handle for my last name. It's not.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Maybe not a super common last name, but it's, you know, there's a lot of people, there's a decent number of people who have my last name. But I remember reading about, before Twitter was even really an internet-based thing, it was a text thing. Like you would, the idea that's was, right, that's yeah, why it's 140 yeah. characters, because you would text something and it would get redistributed to your various people. And I said, think, well, let me check this out. And in order to sign up, you had to sign up. And like, well, I'm going to, you know, obviously I didn't get the domain name for the website under my last address, and so I'll only get the last name. So I got this, and so I have that, the original.
Because I still remember you trying to explain Twitter to me one time when you first sort of dabbled, is maybe that's the right word. And I remember when you were going on about the text thing, I think I actually remember saying, I don't know about that, but that seems really stupid.
Well, it didn't work very well, but you could see, it's one of these things, I'm never quite sure when people set these things up. Are they stumbling into this, or do they have a vision? Like, why Netflix rents DVDs? They claim they always had this vision towards the streaming. Uber is out there with people driving the car. Uber just announced they're going to be running automatic cars within like a year in Pittsburgh. Like, no driver cars. Although they said basically on this initial stage, they're going to have somebody up front in case something goes wrong. But
I don't want to get sidetracked down this road. And I would suggest go into our archives and just type in Uber. And it will probably come up somewhere on the website, the episode where you and I talked about Uber. My position is unchanged. We're at the point, I think, now with the web that everything is chicken and egg. The web just happens to be a delivery service for something.
Yeah, well, the internet is.
No, but what I mean by that is a lot of these businesses would exist in a different form. Uber is no different than radio taxi, where you call up and you get a cab.
Right.
The only difference is now you can do it without dialing up someone and going, oh, I need it. But what I'm saying is, in principle, it's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, well, in the same sense that the web is no different than, like, just reading articles on the web is no different than getting a magazine in your house. It's just a better way of delivering the content to you, and you can instantaneously get it, you know.
And I know people sometimes.
Which is what leads into, like, I mean, we'll talk about more in terms of, like, the future. Maybe we talk about it now, like, the future of this.
Oh, no, let's do the future at the end.
Okay. So we'll come back to that, like, looking at that stuff. So, you get a point for having a website.
Yeah.
I've given you the point. Do I get a point for Twitter? That's
No, I think you do. Right. Yeah, because you're in front of the curve, even though you're nowhere near the curve now.
And right.
B, I said it was a stupid idea. So if anything, you
That's
deserve
true.
You
That's
just,
true.
If you don't get a point, I should get one taken away just to be a blithering idiot once again.
So obviously, you know, like some of the big things you had out there were like blogs. Yep. And like, you know, blogs didn't originally have comments. And then they come up with the idea of comments. And now everybody's rebelling against comments. There was an article this week talking about how
Please email us.
Well, I forget what newspaper, somebody has said we're not going to have comments anymore because this is stupid. Like the commentary on any like big publication on the internet, and like go to any Washington Post article and they have 1,000 comments. There's no value to 1,000 comments on something. And they basically, somebody ran a study, I think it was the San Francisco Gate, whatever it was, but they ran a study that basically statistically, out of the number of people who read the article, the people who are commenting is like less than 0.5% and maybe even smaller. Like, and they're basically saying, what's the point? I mean, nobody really cares. There's this set of people who are out there who are going to say like, oh, it's Obamacare. And this set of people are going to say, you know, we hate Trump.
Yeah,
and if the article is about like playground furniture. But
OK, well, but let me say this about comments on the web/internet. I remember when I. Because again, as the non-tech guy, I was left with building the blog that hosts AtlanticVoice.net. So I bought one of those, you know, blogging for dummies books. Yeah. And conventional wisdom always is have a comment section because for some reason it reflects interest. It keeps your site vibrant in terms of visitors and it shows that people are engaged and all this type of thing. I don't know if that's true or not, but conventional wisdom has always been the ability to take comments are a good thing. I must confess, I only look at comments. I have like so many of like
as you explained, you don't reply to anybody. So what's the point? Like the whole idea of the comments originally was it was a way to comment. There's some article talking about how originally when people had blogs, you'd have a blog and somebody else have a blog, and you'd have a communication through your blog postings, and then people are like, well, this is crazy, so if we just put comments, people could just talk right underneath the blog
article. I find comments entertaining, though, depending on what website I'm going to and what the subject matter is.
There are some, like the Deadspin comment section, they're is hilarious. I don't know how many,
I think
Deadspin, they're all like miniature bloggers.
Yeah, it's interesting. Deadspin seems to exist. Deadspin is almost like...
Despite the fact it's being bought by Univision.
Univision, yeah.
Gawker.
Deadspin seems to exist as almost like a free... Almost like a... It's almost a version of a chat room rather than a version of a blog, because things are written in order to get people commenting. It's interesting. Like YouTube. I find YouTube comments...
They can be junk, but there's some things.
But there is an what I'm saying, it's an entertainment value. But I will say this now, talking about that, I don't comment on things. I've never commented on a newspaper article or anything on any other blog. That's not my thing. I just
you can imagine my recalcitrant.
There are moments when I've wanted to, but I'm like, why am I getting involved in this?
Yeah,
like that said, and I'm going to get another point here. Between you and I think I'm the only one who's a member of a chat room. I'm a member. Give a shout out. I'm a member of the James Bond chat room.
What does it mean to be a member? You just...
Well, no, but I go in there and I engage in chat room conversations about topics. You don't do that.
I engage in message board conversations on Virginia Sports.
Oh, you do? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, not very actively these days.
But so we both get a point.
The first year, that was one of like the first, when the message boards, that's something we should mention. It's like the message boards, which aren't that big a deal these days. Although Reddit is effectively a message board, and that's huge. But when these message boards came out, like for sports, people would go on there and I would post things, and I won their season-long football picks one year and got to go to the Peach Bowl free, watch Virginia get beaten.
I'll give you that.
Well, we'll score one.
I didn't know that you did that. Yeah, I thought it was like a house rule that you don't do it. Whereas
The big struggle for all those is picking a name, right? You got to pick a name that's pretty cool, but it can't be just right. So what's your James Bond chat room name?
Well, the trouble is my James Bond chat room, that's my online persona. I'm in all kinds of things as that person. Yeah. So as soon as you...
Same thing as you're in your soccer league? Is that the same?
Yes, yes. Right. It's like one of those things. It's like I've gone... Instead of like having a multi-layered defense system, I've just built one big wall. Once you jump over that wall and link the two things together, you're in my life.
That's dilemma, right? Like, do I do all my passports exactly the same or...
No, and I'm at this stage now where I have about 9 vaguely related passwords.
Yeah, and you can't remember
and it's a disaster. Yeah. When you try and get into things, and I keep meaning I need to have a little code book that I put under my mattress that has all my stuff written down, because as you and I both head into indeterminate middle age, the chances of remembering all these different versions.
Well, then you just click on the thing says I forgot my password, which of course requires you to set a new password, and so you end up setting another derivation of those same passwords. You're like, sometimes I'll put it in and it'll be like, duh, that's already your password, and I'm like, wait a minute, I thought I just couldn't figure out my password.
All right, are we ready to express through some of the things that we do in terms of on the internet and see on the web?
One more thing I want to mention about the web is search engines, because that's another one where the web was out there, if all it was you'd never find anything, you'd have to do the typing, but this was the big solution. And so you have Yahoo is like one of the older ones, but just before that was bigger, was Alta Vista. Do you remember Alta Vista? I think I have a list here.
I'm trying to desperately cast my mind back 2 decades to figure out what I use. I consciously remember using Yahoo.
Yeah, Yahoo was before Google came along and ate their lunch.
All I've ever used is Yahoo, and then I switched to Google. And here's the interesting thing. And again, this only shows I'm going to lose another point for, again, having absolutely no understanding of what it is I do every day. I remember someone once said to me, you should go to Ask Jeeves.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that Ask Jeeves was just another search engine. I thought it was some specific website.
Like it had the information there.
Yes, and so it's weird. In my mind, I'm still actually coming to terms with what's a search engine and what's a website and what's the page that opens.
Right. And sometimes they're designed to make you not know. Like even Google, they feed this stuff in.
Google does a really good job now of it comes up, and then you just start typing and you end up where you want to go. And so they have...
But of course, that means they're nudging everything.
I understand.
Right,
you know? I understand it. And in a very nefarious way, they are facilitating your web habits without you realizing that they are nursemaiding and therefore watching you.
So there's when you go to Wikipedia, there's a list of search engines and like so
and
they,
most
they
of
run
them are
down
dumb,
years.
Right?
Like so 1993, a W3 catalog, Airwave, Jump Station, WW Worm, they're all inactive. Web crawler is active. It's just aggregates.
I've heard
thing.
Of that.
Go.com was 94.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Before Yahoo, Go is then got bought into Disney. And to this day, sometimes when you go to ESPN websites, it still has like a .go in it.
Yes.
Like there's some sort of relationship.
Oh, and that's the relationship. I didn't know that.
Lycos is still active.
Never heard of them.
InfoSeek gone. AltaVista is active, but I think Yahoo gone because they go there. Excite was one. They're still active, I think. Yahoo, obviously. Dogpile. Hotbot. Ask Jeeves was 96. Jeeves,
which then became just Ask.
It's that's right. It's been rebranded as Ask.
Jeeves just seems so 1930.
Yeah, Northern Light, Yandex, Google comes up in 1998, so 3 years after Yahoo, and they just have a better. They had just had a better technological system for gathering the stuff and putting it together, where they took care of it all.
And it's just so much easier too.
MSN Search, Bing. What is now Bing was like MSN Search and then
Bing,
Live Search
right.
and stuff like that. But that's that's all the Microsoft stuff.
I had Yahoo.
There's one in 2003 called Scroogle, which I'm like,
really?
Are you just trying to steal the name? Like, what's the deal?
Actually, I think that's if you just downloading pictures again. Don't.
You know, it occurred to me that that could be the name. That's like there's another one on this list called. I can't find it.
See,
now.
I used to have my homepage set as Yahoo.
And then I
felt like it was like, yes, this is my first entryway, and then I did everything from there. And now...
Well, that's... So, like, if you had one of those My Yahoo pages, I still have, like, one of those where you could put all the pieces together and kind of make your own, starting point. That's like... It has a search, but really, it's really, like,
RSS. Now, I hate to say it, become lazy, and I've been completely co-opted by Google.
Yeah, well, exactly.
I just click on it, and I just start from there, and I just type in words.
Like, on your iPhone, do you just... type in stuff and it goes to Google when you're looking. Like if you're looking for something, do you just or is the iPhone
iOS
finding it?
And I don't know.
Yeah,
I do not know.
Point for me.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. You get another point.
So we were about to, what were we about to say before I started?
Well, I guess we should start expressing through some of the things that we do to see which one of us is more webby.
Oh, all right.
We both stream TV.
Yeah.
Do you read books off the internet?
Books like from Kindle?
Yeah.
No.
No, see, I don't either. I did once for the show a couple of years ago. Let me see. How much shopping do you do on the internet?
Oh, just tons.
See, I'm the same way.
I mean, my brother was here recently, and like he always gave me a hard time because he was sending me these things talking about, you know, there's been these studies that like when you go to buy stuff at like Amazon, it's usually not the greatest price, and you should just check that stuff. He comes to visit me, right? And he was staying for a week with his family, and they went somewhere. They were going to buy some groceries or something like that because they were here for the full week, and we were off at work. And he's like, "Now I know why you shop online," because he lives in an area that's very rural.
Yeah.
And when he wants to drive to a store, he just drives to the store. He's like, "We were sitting in traffic to go 3 miles forever." Yeah. He's like, "Now you," and like, "No doubt." I'm like, "Listen. Whenever the grocery shopping picks up to the level where I can like reliably buy, there's no reason for me to
leave
the house."
You're going to give me a point right here. I don't, but my household does now do its grocery shopping online.
Right, but so that's a point versus that's household.
I would, yeah, but I get the point because I'm here as representative.
No, it's household. I put them in there.
No, if I'm unhappy with another country, I'm going to kill their ambassador, even though it might not be him. He's the representative of that country. I'm sorry, British ambassador.
I think I know who the representative of your household is now, and it's not you.
Yeah, it's not me, but it doesn't matter. We now buy our and I must say, the first time we did it.
Does that include like frozen stuff?
Yeah, and then the local supermarket shows up with a truck and the guy brings all your stuff.
Who's doing it? Is it Peapod or?
Peapod, yeah. The guy comes in.
Giant?
The
guy Peapod Giant?
Yes.
Okay.
And I must say, I was aghast when we decided to do it. I'm like, "You mean we can't even go to the store?"
Yeah.
I got to tell you, though, when I sat and thought about it, for all the same reasons now, I'm surprised at what I'll buy anything online now.
Yeah.
In the shops, to me, why am I wasting my time? I bought iron cleaner online. So what I'm saying, what I mean is it's a product that you smear on your iron to clear your iron that you iron your clothes with.
Okay, right. I was going to say.
It's a $12 product.
Iron liner.
It's a $12 product that I could have got at CVS.
Yeah.
For me. Now, it was before the internet was reserved for special purchases.
Yeah.
But now I'm buying all kinds of junk. I just don't go to shops anymore.
I mean, because if the price is the same, you don't have to go somewhere. They've got somebody running around their warehouse and like forced labor trying to pack the stuff up as fast as possible. The thing that amazes me, I really haven't researched it yet, is these ones where they, if you're on Amazon Prime, they're like, oh, we can get this to you the same day. And I'm like, it's noon. How are you possibly getting this to me to the same day, bringing it over here?
Have you ever searched yourself online?
Oh, yeah, of course.
What comes up? You don't have to be specific. All your professional stuff.
My professional stuff.
Anything non-professional?
No. It used to be, actually, oddly enough, I was just telling somebody, years gone by, those Usenet groups, they used to be indexed. And so it would come up with these postings that I had about the Dave Matthews Band and about something else. And
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get a point here. I appear on a couple of quote websites. Because I've been in a job where I've had to give quotes to the media, I now appear on other websites with my quote, and
I'm not impressed.
You're not impressed? I am.
I don't know. Well, it just means like you'd be in a newspaper before, and now these things are now online.
So
I seen that guy who runs the guy who does all the pictures for the Catholic League sports stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not totally comfortable with that.
All right, let's move on. Let me see what else. Obviously, we've got the podcast. We're both in chat rooms. Again, it's one of those things, isn't it? I think the point here is we're going to end up in a score draw scenario with different
areas of stuff. Like, that's the whole thing.
Do you do much social media?
Well, I mean, Twitter would be it, and then I don't do any Facebook, so I'm not. I'm totally.
See, I
out
do,
of that.
And I only try.
But you technically don't do it either. You just have things up.
But here's the thing: I do things, and I do it for the show, and yet for some reason I have this.
Do you do Instagram?
No,
Instagram
is it's too much hassle. I was behind the curve of Facebook. I was behind the curve with
Instagram. Twitter. Sorry, it's so weird. Like, it's so basically, you had like when you look at the evolution, you had websites, people writing a full thing, like an article, and all this sort of reference materials. Then you have blogs, quicker hits, you know, shorter things.
Yes.
Then you go to Twitter, which is, you know, the 140 characters.
Yeah.
And now in Instagram, it's just a picture with a caption.
But isn't that what the internet has always been in its heart?
But it just means like, you know, it does make me wonder. Like, let's talk about the future of it, because
I want to say this. I gave up because I was constantly behind the curve.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, especially if you're in a scenario where you're talking to people of a different generation, and I want to reference again my young friend at the start who had no idea there was a world before the internet and the web.
Right.
Facebook, that's so such and such.
Oh, yeah, it's old.
And things, but everything. And, you know, then there's Instagram, and there's Snapchat, and there's Tumblr, and there's Snapfish, and there's all these other things, and I'm like,
that's the weird thing, is because all that stuff is silent. So this is actually a good point to sort of talk about the future. The whole point of the browser was a universal system for sharing this information.
Okay.
Right? The browser and the World Wide Web was a common set of standards. As we've gone over to the phones and the mobile phones and the like, and all those products are siloed. You can go look at Tumblr, but you got to go somewhere else to go look at this thing. And you got to open another app to go look at Snapchat. And you got to look, and you got to have, and sure, they're going to alert you on your phone. And so in some sense, the phone brings it all together.
Sure.
But it's breaking it all up. And what I've heard recently is that a bunch of people who do this app says, this is crazy. This is just completely inefficient, and what we need is a more universal system.
We need an app for the apps.
Kind of. But the app would be like, maybe it's not a browser anymore, but something that there's a standard platform that people will migrate to. But the truth is, each one of those products doesn't want to do that because they want to capture you. They want Facebook to go out of business and you to only use Instagram. And they want Snapchat, you know, like they all want to be the one place you do all your stuff. And right now, Facebook is obviously winning that despite the fact that it's passé. But that's, you know who wins? You know, like Budweiser wins. It's the lowest common denominator version.
What I want to say about Facebook, though, is that they've been very good about continually trying to, successfully or not, their platform is continually, influx is the wrong word, but you do have a sense, whereas I feel like Instagram and Snapchat, from what I know about these things, they're one-trick ponies. Whereas Facebook is savvy enough to know that, okay.
Well, it's ahead of the curve in adding tricks. The other ones want to add the tricks. I mean, look, at Twitter starts with 140 characters, but really doesn't matter. Now you can do whatever you want.
Well, they're going to get
bigger, pictures and the videos. And I think, do they own Periscope? Who owns Periscope? Periscope's that live video thing where you can be like, oh, look at what I'm looking at. Boom. You know?
What?
Periscope.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. Give yourself a point. It's funny because I have an internal thing with social media. I don't do social media for me. I only do it for the show.
Yeah, well, and, but, you and you don't even really do it. Like, and my point is, you no, put just things out. Yours is anti-social media. it's basically because the whole point of social media is the interactive, and you don't do any of the interactive.
I'm just trying.
You might as well just be running a blog or a website.
I only do social media because I kind of feel like I'm supposed to.
Right.
And unfortunately, now.
Well, it's an obligation. I mean, that's the thing. Like, certain businesses, like my, in the law area, we have a blog. Like, so I'm involved in running the blog, very different sort of blog because it's professional. We don't have comment. You don't want comments on your law firm's blog. But there's some sense like, oh, we should have, like somebody was saying, we should have Twitter. We should have this. We should have that. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I get the fact that somebody's following that stuff, but it's like basically saying you've got to, you cover everything. You're just never going to cover any of it well.
So yeah, I do think, and at the end of the day, doing all this stuff, it's a full-time job for someone.
I think
for a company.
Like, I think, like, the a bunch of people sort of said, like, listen, browsers are dead because nobody uses a regular computer anymore. They use their phone, they use their tablet and things like that. But I do think there's going to be some pushback. I think the big revolution that we should see, and I cannot believe somebody's, is a better way to read the classic newspaper or news content. I mean, like, the reason, like, everybody talks about the paper itself dying, and they're trying to develop better apps so you can read it. There should be in our lifetime a way that something that's literally either size of a paper or something where I'm not sitting at a desk reading off this news.
It is interesting because this was going to be one of my big punchline jokes for the week.
Oh, I ruined it?
No, you didn't ruin it, because there's actually an honest, to me, I think there's actually an honest, serious point in there, because we're sort of into the area now where we're looking at what should be the next big developments on the internet. As everyone knows, I'm a big Wikipedia guy.
Oh, I love the internet. I have to talk about Wikipedia in a second.
We want a minute. Like I said earlier at the start of the show, I printed up the page for Sir Tim Berners-Lee because it was four pages double-sided. The internet and World Wide Web entries ran like 25 pages. And I'm like, that's too much for me. Someone needs to invent a pricey internet where every entry gives you...
This is the second time you've used that word in the last couple of episodes, what it is.
Pricey is the shortened version. What did you do for all your years of going doing double masters and doctorates and you don't know how to pricey something? Pricey is when you take a whole page and boil its essence down to two sentences. So that is the act of pricing something.
Is that a word or is that an acronym?
No, it's a word. P-R-E-C-I-S. I think it comes from the French precise. Precise.
Yeah, we don't use that in America, pricey. Maybe summarize.
Well, pricey is the academic version of summarizing. That's what I'm going to tell you. If you really know what you're doing, you pricey things. So anyway, I want a Wikipedia summary page. And you know why? Thanks to the internet, I don't have the attention span to read something that's 16 pages. And I know I'm sort of being throwaway when I say that, but in all seriousness, in the same way that people have always said that TV made us a less... What's the word? We're not able to focus anymore. I'm saying...
No. I just love the fact that you sent to us, what's the word? We're not able to say...
We've all got short attention spans now due to media and TV and all that type
of thing. People are going
to
be very upset that we've hit an hour.
No, but it's the same. Yeah, exactly. It's the same on the internet. Yeah. You've just talked about the newspaper. Yeah. Now, I read all the newspapers on the internet, but I'm going to tell you something. I still buy a proper newspaper on a Sunday. It is harder and harder now when they're running a big four broadsheet article for me to sit there and go, I'm kind of interested in that. I should read that all the way through. But I'm so used to just going on the internet and clicking and at the most scanning the arrow down a little bit.
Yeah.
If you go to The Guardian's website, and The Guardian, obviously, they're one of the first newspapers to, I think they were the first newspaper to understand that having a proper web presence was going to be the way to go.
Yeah.
Every so often on their homepage of the website, and I think, I don't know because I haven't read the in-print Guardian in so long, I think most of the stories on the website are the shortened versions.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and again, they put something up and it's called The Long Read. And so you're warned when you click on it, this is going to take a lot of scrolling the bar down. But it is interesting because now I get everything via the internet. You've just talked about, we need to find a better way to put newspapers up. I don't know if I'm game for doing all that reading.
Well, I'm being deadly honest. The trick is 140 characters. Snapchat is, oh yeah, I don't need to message you what I'm doing. I'm just going to send you this photo.
Well, the trick is the timing, right? The reason that you don't finish is because you're reading in a context in which you would not have read a newspaper before. You're literally in the middle of something else. Right. You know, I'm waiting at the front desk to get a table at a restaurant. I'm going to go ahead and read this. Well, of course, you're not going to read a whole newspaper article then. You're just like reading a couple of words. But if like basically when I get up in the morning and I would want to read a newspaper, if instead of having a big newspaper, I had like a system where I could just read it all and read the parts in longer content, I would do that then. But yeah, it has a lot to has as much to do with the multitasking nature of our life. And that's the attention deficit thing. There's some things you can do to sort of save. There's like I was using for a while, though I kind of laid off, is an app called Pocket, which basically it would have a link on all your, when you're on a web page, you say, okay, well, I'm not going to read all this now. And you just click on this thing and it would put it aside all in this one place. And so when you were sitting down, I got an hour here, I feel like reading, you could read the whole article just by going back to Pocket and all the stuff that you had accumulated there.
Here's why I think, here's my next big, honest, serious prediction for the next 25 years of the internet and the web and whatever all this is. I think TV's in trouble.
Well, I guess they're all going to come together. Although
they're all good. That's what I'm saying. I think as it is now, if you are in media, you need to be ready. You're going to have to be quick on your feet to adjust and adapt.
Well,
it was interesting just looking at the Olympics that's just gone. And I was reading some articles about here in America and in some other different countries. The TV ratings for the Olympics were down, and yet the same countries all reported that people going to their computer to get live action was up.
Yeah.
And I know this sounds like, well, Zeph, that's not new, but I do think in the next 25 years, these things are all, they're all going to sort of morph together in terms of when we walk into our futuristic home, there's going to be one terminal for everything.
Well, right, and that's probably your TV set.
But what I'm saying is, the TV set, but what I'm saying is, delivered via the internet and the World Wide Web, rather than over the air or via cable or digitally, I believe that the internet and the World Wide Web will be the primary transporter.
Well, I will say at some level that's semantics because that's what's happening already. I mean,
I'm already right.
No, well, if you have digital cable, you're getting this stuff effectively through an internet system.
So
the big thing though is
let me bring it back to St. Tim Berners-Lee, whose big belief is he wants to go to developing countries. In the developing countries, he wants to make the internet and the World Wide Web accessible and free to all. What I'm saying is those guys are going to beat traditional cable and all those people to the curve. They're going to beat them to the punch. What I'm saying is that I understand your point.
They're the same people.
No, they are. But what I'm not talking about the people. I'm now talking about the primary in a country. Once they get a country's internet and World Wide Web started up, there's going to be no job for the cable.
No, what I'm saying. My point is the people who run the cable system and the internet system are the same people.
No, I understand. I know. But what I'm saying is the dominant technology. Let me rephrase.
Yeah.
So give me another point.
No, I'll give you a point.
All right.
my big thing on the Wikipedia, we didn't talk about Wikipedia and things like that. You know, I never realized. I always assumed the phrase wiki was Wikipedia had invented it, and all these other wikis, like you'll see, like James Bond wiki or knockoff. No. Wikis predate Wikipedia.
Oh, really?
The first one, I have it in my notes somewhere here.
I didn't notice.
The first one was by this guy in Portland in 1993. It was the WikiWikiWeb. And the name WikiWiki, I assume it was named after a bus system in Honolulu. It was a bus that you took from the airport to someplace.
Oh, really?
And the guy liked
Waikiki Wiki.
The guy liked Wiki as a sort of a thing for quick. This was a quick system of getting all the information. And so he had set up this thing in 93 where people, again, the whole gist of anything wiki related is that quick. It's everybody contributes. Well, and everybody contributes. The information's all being, and everybody has to do so when they came out with Wikipedia, they were really grabbing the wiki and Wikipedia just saying it's like the encyclopedia, it's everything. And so it just so happens that they are the foremost.
So basically what I need is a wiki Wikipedia. I need a quick Wikipedia because there's nothing quick about 25 pages on the internet. Let me tell you that right now.
It's not to be confused with Wikipedia.
Wookie Wiki.
Yeah, it's a Star Wars wiki.
All right, so is that your big prediction?
What's that? My big prediction?
What's your big prediction?
Oh, I'm hoping everything can sell. Like what you were mentioning, all the things about like those different sources. I don't forget about the pipes that get the stuff to your house, whether it's cable or internet.
Okay.
The real problem, I think, now is that I want to watch Netflix, I got to turn something else on. I want to watch Amazon, I got to turn something else on, or I got to switch it over. If I want to watch, you know, I want to watch Apple TV, if I want to watch, you know, there's all these different streaming distributions. I was watching some streaming concerts, and there's like four different places you get it. All of them were like different websites that do it. Somebody, and it should be the TV company or the TV manufacturer, has to bring it all in one place. And it's a lot of effort to be because that's what'll make TV is the fact that you can press your remote and you just press up and you're at Netflix. And you press up and you're here, you know, not well, okay, I gotta start this and restart that and have this thing go over here and turn this different piece of equipment on and I gotta pick up my phone and Google cast it over there and make all these things happen. So my prediction is all that stuff comes together because you know what, there's money to be made.
No, I'm gonna give you but I do think that's the way it's going. It's and then all those tubes are going to be overloaded.
Yeah. So I think the score is tied for what it's worth.
I think that's pretty true. It was interesting. We both have slightly different histories of the internet. Our own personal histories with the internet are slightly different. But ultimately, I think the point is we are reflective of most people.
Most people this age. A lot of it is age bracket related.
Well, that's my point. And to not keep being on this. I do feel social media, because I actually need to do a little bit of business before we get out of the show. Social media is a young person's thing. I do feel that way. One of the reasons I don't really do it is because I'm of a different generation.
Yeah, but I think the next generation behind them is going to be, they're not going to be so into like throwing everything out there. Although maybe everybody craves some degree of fame. But I think it's like, so you have this thing at the universities called... I forget what it is. It's basically like a Snapchat, but it's geographically limited.
Okay.
And the idea being, if you're off in some other town, you can't just horn in on people's conversations in another location. And I think people will be more likely to compartmentalize this.
Really? See, that seems like a step backwards.
I think some people will. The other things won't go away. But like nowadays, people converse over Facebook when they're conversing with four of their friends. Well, what the heck is the point of like needing Facebook for that? Like, there should be a different product where it's. Yeah, I mean, granted, you can like restrict who can access you.
Customize social media. Is that what you think? Okay. All right, so there you go. That was us and the internet. So we've celebrated the 25 years of the internet and the World Wide Web, which, I still get it all confused. And as far as I'm concerned, it's whatever I do with my computer.
Yeah, 25 years.
Because to be honest with you, I actually don't do much.
The real problem is they can't come up with a birthday for the internet because it's not as this is convenient because it had a turning point, whereas the other stuff doesn't.
When is Sir Tim Berners-Lee's birthday? His birthday is the 8th of June, 1955.
Good for him.
And I'm not doing some sort of, scamming him or sort of uncovering him. That's on his Wikipedia page. Someone's bunged it in there.
Tim Berners-Lee.
I need to do a quick bit of Facebook business. You know the radio station I was involved with, Zone One Radio? Yeah. They're back in action. Their website is flourishing, and they're actually going to be, sometime in the next year, actually going to be applying for unfortunately for them,
a broadcast license.
Because I'm still with Zone One Radio, are well behind the curve. But in order to support that, please go ahead and go to Zone One Radio at Facebook and just like the page, because part of proving that they are deserving of a broadcast license back in London is to show they have plenty of fans on Facebook. So subcontractor of Zone One Radio, I did promise that I would do my bit on my other media outlet that I share with my partner.
So maybe you should have done the top of the broadcasting.
Now forget it, whatever, because then this way I can say back to Zone One, I can go, yeah, shout out to everyone on Zone One at the end of the show, and then all those dunes have to sit and listen, and it gets our numbers up.
Do we get paid something for the advertising time?
We'll figure it out. Okay. We'll have to see about that. Anything else on the internet and the World Wide Web?
I don't think so.
No, that was it. So this has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.